My name is Rick Renner, and today I'm going to read the Christmas story with my wonderful wife, Denise. But I want to tell you that I have a book called Christmas, The Rest of the Story. It is fully illustrated. It will just bring to life the story of Christmas, and you will learn things you've never heard before in Christmas, The Rest of the Story. But Denise, let's get started in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And the Bible says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." But Denise, notice it says she was a virgin and she was espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. Well, the espousal process among the Jews was very serious. And in fact, they took marriage so serious, they took 1 year to prepare for marriage. If people were more serious in their approach to marriage today, we would probably have less divorces. But they took 1 year, and during that year, the woman was to plan, she was to prepare, she was to learn from older women how to be a wife. And during that year, it was forbidden to have any kind of sexual relationship between the young man and the young woman. So this was a year of separation. It was also a year when they were showing to God that they were consecrated and they were not going to sexually violate themselves. And God was watching. And it was during that year period when they had no sexual contact that Mary became pregnant. And of course, this was quite an amazing event. And the Bible tells us in verse 28, "And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be." Well, you can imagine, Mary at this time was probably between 12 and 14 years old. Well, just imagine, a 12 to 14 year old girl, and suddenly the angel Gabriel shows up. And the Bible says that she was troubled, cast in her mind. She was amazed at what was taking place. Verse 30, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." But Denise, how does God choose people? Does God just write their names down and put them in a bag and treat it like it's a lottery and shake up the names and reach down and pull out a name and say, oh, this is the person that I'm going to use? Why did God give special favor to Mary? And the answer is, God had been watching Mary. He saw she was a dedicated young girl. And in fact, as I share in my book, Christmas, The Rest of the Story, she had been trained from childhood by her parents that God had a special plan for her life. And she grew up as a very dedicated young girl, believing she was raised to be the handmaid of the Lord. She believed that. She was waiting for her assignment. And because she had prepared her heart and she was waiting, God tagged her to become the mother of Jesus. That is just amazing. And the verse goes on to say in verse 31, "And behold," by the way, the word behold in Greek means "and wow." Even the angel was amazed by this. You could translate it, "and wow, this is amazing. Thou shalt conceive in thy womb and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." And the name Jesus means Savior, Deliverer. That's who he is. That's who he was then. That's who he is now. He's our Savior and he is our Deliverer. Then in verse 32, "And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give to him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." And then in verse 34, Denise, Mary asked a logical question. "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing that I know not a man?" When Mary says, "seeing that I know not a man," it means she had had no sexual relationship with anyone. So how was this possible? But notice what Mary did not say. She didn't say this couldn't be. And in fact, we find Mary has a receptive heart. She's asking questions, but she's not arguing. And when God gives us an assignment in life, we don't need to argue with the Lord. It is okay to ask for clarification. And Mary says, "How? How shall this be, seeing that I know not a man?" Verse 35, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And then we find Mary's response in verse 38. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. And when Mary said, "Be it unto me according to thy word," it was in that very moment when she agreed with God that she conceived the Son of God inside her heart. And Denise, that's how we're born again. When we agree with God and we say, "Be it unto me according to your word, be the Lord of my life," in that very moment, the Holy Spirit comes into us and the Son of God is born in us, just in a very similar way as it occurred with Mary. But this was the moment when she conceived the Son of God in her womb. Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing, Rick. And I was thinking, as real as it was that she received the seed of God, that's as real as it is when we open our heart and we say, "Jesus, I want to give you my life. I receive you. I believe your word." And he comes into our life just as real as he came into the Virgin Mary.
That's amazing. But then we're going to continue Luke chapter 2, verse 1, which says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." Well, prophecy said that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, but Mary and Joseph were living in Nazareth, which was quite a ways from Bethlehem, and they had no natural reason to go to Bethlehem. In fact, Bethlehem was barely a dot on the map. It was a village of about 200 people, maybe, some say 150. It was just a very small place. But according to Scripture, that is where the Messiah was going to be born. But there was no reason for Mary and Joseph to go there, especially at the moment when she was about to give birth to a baby. And suddenly, Caesar Augustus issues a decree, the whole world should be taxed. A better translation would be, the whole world should be re-registered. And what he did was give an order for everyone to return to their original hometown to re-register so that they would know how large was the Roman population and what was the tax base. So suddenly, the whole world is in movement, and it is amazing that it happened at this time. There was no reason for Joseph and Mary to go to Nazareth, but God needed to get them there. And now we find God was willing to move the whole world, to inconvenience the whole planet, to get Mary and Joseph where they needed to be.
Because, Rick, that was prophesied over and over again, that he would be born in Bethlehem. And that's amazing, because God, the word says that he directs the steps of a righteous man.
And he does.
Well, Rick, he was definitely directing their steps and changing the whole system of the world for that one event to fulfill that prophecy.
And can you imagine the complaining? People who must have said, "Ugh, why do we have to go back to our hometown?" People had to take vacations they didn't want to take. They had to close their businesses. They had to leave education. People moving around, moaning, groaning, complaining, "What is this all about?" But God was moving. And Denise, sometimes God will move heaven and earth to get us where we need to be. And sometimes we might complain and we don't understand that God is moving. But God was moving heaven and earth just to get Mary and Joseph where they needed to be so Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. And my friends, I want to tell you that God has a plan for your life, and God is so committed to you fulfilling that plan, he will move heaven and earth to get you where you need to be.
And you know, Rick, the word Bethlehem means a house of bread.
House of bread.
And he was the heavenly bread coming down from heaven for all of us.
Denise, also think about Mary, because she was 9 months pregnant right at the point of birth. Now she's loaded onto the back of a mule, and she's traveling all the way from Nazareth. This was multiple days. Now, you've carried three babies. You know what it's like to be pregnant. Just imagine if you were put on the back of a mule and you walked for days and days and days, bouncing up and down, up and down, up and down.
I can't imagine.
God was even willing to inconvenience them to get them where they needed
to be.
That's
true.
And sometimes God inconveniences us because he's getting us where we need to be.
And he's got a greater plan.
And he directs the steps of a righteous man. But we read in verse 2, and this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed. And the word all in Greek is all encompassing, no one excluded. Every single person in the Roman Empire had to be re-registered with the government. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. Verse 4, and Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Verse 6, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Well, when people hear that phrase, there was no room for them in the inn, people often think, well, they were just too poor to afford a room. Well, there were only about 150 to 200 people in Bethlehem to start with, and hotels usually were empty rooms on the second floor of homes. Well, everyone was coming to Bethlehem to re-register. And by the time that Mary and Joseph got there, all the rooms were taken. So they began to look for some place to find refuge. And if you look at greeting cards, and if you look at paintings, usually we see Jesus as a little baby in a barn with Joseph and Mary. But the fact is, Jesus was born in a cave. And all around Bethlehem, even today, there are caves that were used as barns in the first century. And today, when you visit the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem, below that sanctuary is a cave where Jesus was born. So now Joseph takes his wife into the back of that cave. They find a warm place, and it's while they were there that verse 7 says she brought forth her firstborn son. Well, the reason he's called firstborn is because he was her first child, and he was the only child born supernaturally because she was conceived with Jesus by the Holy Spirit. But Denise, when you read Matthew chapter 13, verse 55 and 56, it says that afterward, Mary had other children. She had a son named James, a son named Joseph. She had a son named Simon. She had a son named Jude. And Matthew 13, 56 said that she had girls, plural. So there was a whole family of kids, but Jesus was the firstborn and the only one that was conceived by the Holy Spirit. The other kids were born naturally. But it says she brought her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. You know, Denise, when we were growing up, that was one of my favorite parts of the story. We would say, oh, she wrapped him in swaddling clothes
and laid him in a manger.
No one ever told me what swaddling clothes were. I just thought they were baby clothes. But in fact, these are the little bandages which shepherds use to wrap around the legs of newborn lambs to protect their little legs. Now, here is Jesus, born in a barn, a place normally where little lambs would be being born. He was laid in a manger, which was made of stone. It was not made of wood. In fact, today, if you go to the Church of the Nativity, there is still a stone manger there in the cave below that site. And when Jesus was born, they looked for something to wrap the little baby in, and all they could find were the little bandages in the cave, which were normally used by shepherds to wrap the little legs of newborn lambs. So now Mary takes those bandages and she begins to wrap Jesus in bandages and cloths normally for little born lambs. Well, here we find that Jesus' very first appearance, he appears as the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world.
That's fantastic, Greg.
It's amazing.
It is so.
Everything
fantastic
in this story is just amazing. And it says in verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Verse 9, and lo, the Greek word means, and wow, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. It also means a deliverer, which is Christ the Lord. Verse 12, and this will be a sign unto you. He was speaking to shepherds. This shall be a sign specifically unto you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Why did the angel appear to this particular group of shepherds? And why were these swaddling clothes a sign, especially to this group of shepherds? Well, in the fields nearby were Levitical fields, where Levitical shepherds raised little lambs, which were to be used as sacrifices in the temple. And they raised hundreds and thousands of them. And their job is to be very vigilant, to be diligent, to watch over those little Passover lambs that are being born. So now the shepherds are out in the field, watching over little lambs that are going to be slain for the temporal sin of mankind. And the angel of the Lord appears to them, and the equivalent of saying, hey guys, you're looking at the wrong lamb. The real Lamb of God has just been born in the city of David, and this will be a sign to you. You'll know him, because when you see him, he'll be wrapped in little swaddling clothes. He will look like a little lamb wrapped in those bandages, lying in a manger. And when you see him, that's how you'll be able to identify that is the real Lamb of God that has been born to take away the sin of the world. Is that amazing?
Oh, it's amazing, Rick. And that the angels would announce all that to the shepherds, which they are the lowest in society, right?
Well, no, these were very important shepherds. These were Levitical shepherds who had a very great responsibility, but they were looking at the wrong lambs. And we know that after Jesus was born, some days later, he was circumcised and he was dedicated to the Lord in the temple. And then when you come to the very end of Luke chapter 2, the Bible tells us in verse 39, and when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. But wait, where are the Magi? There's no Magi in this chapter. Well, to find the Magi, you have to go to Matthew chapter 2. So let's go to Matthew chapter 2. And in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says, and when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there's that word behold again. Wow. There came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Well, this is the word magi. And magi were kingmakers. These were powerful, powerful individuals. With one word, they could install a king. With one word, they could depose a king. And now they have come from the east to Jerusalem. And as they come into the city of Jerusalem, they are saying, and the Greek tense means saying and saying and saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we've seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him. And verse 3 says, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Do you know why Herod was troubled? Because he had had a rendezvous with Magi some years earlier who tried to depose him. And the last time he saw Magi, it was a bad experience. And now Magi, who have the power to install or to depose a king, are come riding into Jerusalem, saying and saying and saying. It kind of paints the picture that as they came through the crowd, decorated in all their royal regalia, a whole caravan with them carrying treasures, they were saying to the crowd as they passed through the city, where is he born King of the Jews? Saying and saying and saying, where is he? Does anyone know where he is? And Herod was troubled because it looked like once again, they were going to depose him. And the Bible says all of Jerusalem was troubled with him. That is because Herod was paranoid about somebody taking his throne. And every single time there was allegedly a Messiah born or a rival king, Herod began killing people. And so the people of Jerusalem said, ay, 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 here we go again. Another king has been born. Herod's going to begin killing people. And that's why all of Jerusalem was troubled with him. And verse 4 says, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Verse 7, then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. Why did he want to know that? Because he knew the star appeared when the child was born. And if he could determine when the star appeared, then he would know exactly how old was this child. And the Bible tells us in verse 8, then he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Well, we know from the text that Jesus was about 2 years old. And in fact, the word child that is used here describes a toddler that's just learning to talk and just learning to walk. Well, 2 years have passed. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but now the family has gone home and they're living in Nazareth. And by this time, Jesus is old enough that he can tug on his mother's skirt. He's learning to talk. He's a toddler by this time. And what they don't know is that Jesus and the family have returned to Nazareth. They think they're still in Bethlehem. And that is why in verse 8, and he said to them, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may also come and worship him also. Verse 9, and when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. They were on their way to Bethlehem, but the star led them differently. And you know, Denise, sometimes in life, people will direct us to do one thing, but the Lord will lead us to do something different. And now we find that though Herod dispatched them to Bethlehem, the star led them in another direction. Where did the star lead them? Well, the answer is in verse 11. And when they were coming to the house, wait a minute, where was Jesus born? He was born in a cave. He was born in a barn. But by the time the Magi show up, Jesus and his mother and stepfather are living in a house. It says that when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child. Again, the Greek word here describes a toddler. They saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down. The word fell down means to collapse. So I want you to imagine. The Holy Family is living in their house in Nazareth. Suddenly, the door opens and in walks Magi. We don't know how many Magi there were. Some say 3, some say 12. We're really not sure, but it was a vast number. And Magi, because they were so powerful and political, never traveled alone. They traveled in caravans. So it wasn't 3 little lonely kings. It was 3 mighty king makers traveling with a whole entourage, a complete caravan, and now these mighty, political, powerful individuals walk through the door into the house, and there in front of them, they see the child. And the Bible says they fell down. The Greek means they collapsed. This was the King of Kings, a king so great, the stars even announced his birth, and they've been waiting for 2 years to see this young child. They saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, and the word opened in Greek, Denise, describes a grand opening. This was not 3 little boxes with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. In fact, here we find the plural version of the word treasure. It's treasures. It was cargo. They brought treasures and treasures and treasures and treasures when they came to see the greatest king that had ever been born. And they opened their treasures and they presented unto him. And the word presented in Greek, Denise, carries the idea of a great presentation. A great presentation. And they brought him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Well, gold is a gift for a king. They were coming to see a king. Frankincense was very, very expensive. And in fact, frankincense was as expensive as gold. And frankincense was used in the temple as a part of prayer. This was high priestly frankincense. And myrrh. Myrrh was a perfume, but it was also an embalming solution. And so in these 3 gifts, they were presenting gold for a king, frankincense for a priest, and myrrh prophesying about his eventual death on the cross. Wow. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country. Another way, they went from the north of Israel back home and completely bypassed Herod. And Herod was furious with this. We read this in verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. But here we find Jesus was at least 2 years old at the time the Magi showed up. Now, Denise, this was a shock to me, because when I grew up, on our Christmas cards, in the paintings, in all of our church nativity scenes, we always had the shepherds and the wise men and Jesus and Mary and Joseph and the angels all in one spot. But in fact, these were different events that were separated by 2 years. So when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, that's when the shepherds came and they saw Jesus lying in the manger wrapped in swaddling clothes, which was the signal. This is the real Lamb of God. You guys have been looking at the wrong lamb. The real Lamb of God has been born in Bethlehem. Finally, the Holy Family went back to Nazareth, and 2 years later, the Magi arrive in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he born, King of the Jews?" Herod dispatches them to Bethlehem, but the star leads them to Nazareth. When they came into the house and they saw the young child, they knew that was the greatest king ever born, the ruler of all rulers, the leader of all leaders. And by the way, another reason they knew about Jesus was because Daniel had lived in Babylon, and Daniel's prophecies had influenced them, and they knew that eventually a star would appear that would announce the birth of the Messiah. Holding on to Daniel's prophecies, when they saw that star, they knew the Messiah had been born, and they began collecting all their treasures and all their gifts, and they began to make the long trek from where they live to the land of Judea. And finally, they came to Nazareth, entered into the house, and they presented their gifts to Jesus. So, Denise, all of this began when Mary said yes. She said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." And in that moment, she conceived the Son of God. And I'm thinking about you and me. If we want wonderful things to happen in our life, let's take this Christmas as a moment to say yes to whatever it is that God's asking us to do. And rather than argue with him and say, "This is impossible," let's do the same as Mary. Let's say, "Lord, if that's what you want me to do with my life, I will do it. Be it unto me according to thy word," and we will conceive all the power, all the strength we need to do whatever it is that God has asked us to do.
This program was made possible by the giving of the God-Called Partners of Renner Ministries.